Hello, this is Michael, radio manager at the Recording Library of West Texas. You may have noticed lately our newspaper program has been shortened to an hour, and we have a lack of Odessa American news articles. On Monday, April 17th, Odessa American subscribers were informed the OA was no longer going to provide daily e-editions on their website of the newspaper. The message indicated they would provide the e-edition a few days a week, but did not include details as to what those days will be. A few years ago, the Odessa American reduced the number of days a week it was going to publish actual printed papers. We're trying to use their website to find timely local articles, but those are also limited. We have attempted to contact the Odessa American to find out what days they will publish the e-edition, and if there's a way to continue getting daily news articles from the paper. But they have not returned our phone calls and emails. Please bear with us as we continue to try to access and bring you timely news articles from the Odessa American. Some days this newspaper program may run the full 90 minutes, while other days we may only have enough content for 60 minutes or less. Thank you for your patience.
This is Christy, and I'm continuing to read MRT for Saturday, April 29, 2023. Midlander's movie debuts at Dallas Film Festival by Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. On the outside looking in, Midland may seem like your run-of-the-mill West Texas desert town, absent of creativity and passion. However, for those of us deeply woven in the community, we know artistic ability and talent thrive through the tall city, making the 432 one of the most unique places to call home. Marion Yeager is living proof. From the time she left the dust-covered city as a wide-eyed 18-year-old to now owning her own production company, the Austin resident maintained a sponge-like brain, soaking up every bubble of filmmaking knowledge possible, from large-budget films to her very own Raise What I Can shorts. The Midlander holds an award-winning resume packed with an array of presentations. However, the titles and money never mattered. For Yeager, happiness lies within loving what you do with people who love the job too. A proud proponent for creating her cast and crew like family. The director feeds, hydrates, and personally knows each member of her team. The outcome? A film overflowing with real-life sentiment, lessons, and absolutely worth watching. Yeager's latest creation, Match Me If You Can, follows a quick-witted Kip after an online matchmaking service deems her unmatchable. Full of sass and soul, the rom-com showcases the age-old question of how to stay true to yourself while feeling alone and unlovable. Debuting to a sold-out crowd in the Dallas International Film Festival this week, Match Me If You Can features Georgina Riley, Wilson Bethel, Brian George, and more. To learn about Marion, visit her website at www.marionyeager.com. How long has Match Me If You Can been in the works? Since 2018, my business partner was the one who found it. She actually read it as a competition script at the Austin Film Festival, where it won for comedy. We raised the money during 2019 and sent our first letter to cast in March 2020. You know what else happened? Our obvious projection to shoot in September 2020 fell apart. In July of 21, I got an audition tape from my casting director of this young woman, and she was perfect. She was Kip. Shortly after, Wilson signed on as Riley, and we hired another producer who got us over the finish line and into production. We shot for 27 days, had a completed film by January, did some pickups in February, and the film was in the can, ready for film festival in September of 2022. That's a long journey for such a short filming time. Are 27-day creations typical for independent feature films? For an independent, it was a luxury to have that many days. Hallmark movies, they shoot them in 12 or 14 days. We tried to get it down to 20, but there were so many characters and the script was complex. I was cutting scenes, not daily, but at least three or four times. Betsy wrote so many little bitty scenes scenes, but in reality, they would take half a day to shoot. So a lot of times it was like, how important is this scene? What's going on in it? Do we have it somewhere else? If we didn't have it somewhere else, I'd talk to Betsy and say, put this in a scene we haven't shot. Production is the most precarious part of filmmaking because anything can go wrong, but that's why we all love it so much. There's quite a few books, talks, a TV show, and 2022 movie called Match Me If You Can. How do you think your film will stand out? When people have seen the movie, the first thing out of their mouth is they want to see it again. The other thing is it has a message of you're not fulfilled by your partner. You're enough just as you are that people are gravitating to. I had a guy come up to me after one of our screenings. He was one of our background actors. So I'd only known him very briefly, and he got emotional and said, I just wanted you to know this was the movie I needed to see. All this week, I've been struggling with mental health issues, and to walk into this movie and have the main character feel like she is not enough without all these other things really spoke to me. I feel like I am enough. It was such a lovely representation of what I try to do as a filmmaker. What has been your favorite part of working on films? In independent movies, you end up with really hardworking people who are doing it because they love it. It's always driven by passion of the story or passion of the director or producers trying to put out a message. A lot of these people work on really big things, so to take half pay, spend 14 to 16 hours a day and do it happily, it became a family. Profits are booming as if oil was $145 a barrel by Kevin Crowley, Bloomberg. ExxonMobil Corporation and Chevron Corporation are reaping profits not seen since oil topped $145 a barrel in 2008, almost twice the current price. Strong results over the past four quarters underscore how they've whipped themselves into robust financial shape in response to the back-to-back oil market collapses by cutting costs and streamlining portfolios. Now, ample cash flows mean shareholders have little reason to worry about the sanctity of dividends, even as oil prices flounder around $78. Exxon on Friday reported its best ever start to a year with first quarter net income of $11.4 billion after oil production soared from new wells in the U.S. and off the coast of South America. Chevron's profit rose slightly to $6.6 billion as oil refining profits rebounded amid climbing fuel demand. Investors applauded Exxon but were disappointed with Chevron, which disclosed slipping output in the Permian Basin. Exxon was the day's best performer among S&P 500 energy stocks with a 1.9 increase at 9:40 a.m. in New York. Chevron slid 0.8%. Both companies have posted hefty profits for four straight quarters, even as international crude prices slid more than 35% from last year's peak. Exxon has earned more than $10 billion a quarter during that span, while Chevron's average was close to $9 billion, something neither company has done since at least 2008 when crude reached $147.50. The result reflects changes we've made, Exxon Chief Executive Officer Darren Woods said during an interview with CNBC on Friday. Exxon's adjusted earnings of $2.83 a share were 20 cents higher than the Bloomberg consensus. Chevron also exceeded expectations with $3.55 in per share adjusted profit. Exxon said its net debt-to-capital ratio shrank to 4% at the end of the period, thanks in large part to a cash pile of almost $33 billion. The company has sought to enrich investors via dividends and share buybacks, and Exxon is the best-performing energy stock in the S&P 500 index this year. The unexpected results were really all about us increasing our production volumes significantly, Chief Financial Officer Kathy Michaels said during an interview. Exxon's output of the coast of Guyana and in the U.S. Permian Basin rose 40% on a combined basis from a year earlier, she noted. As for Chevron, the company's worldwide fleet of refineries reaped $1.8 billion during the period, a fivefold increase from the first quarter of 2022. Chevron has pledged to maintain investor payouts even as it faces pressure to fund new projects key to expanding production. Road Coalition remains cautious despite lower fatality numbers by Mella McEwen, staff writer. Odessa navigating Permian Basin roads has become more and more challenging as the population of school buses, SUVs, and family sedans share the road with more and more trucks and tractor trailers. According to Michael D. Smith, managing director of the Permian Road Safety Coalition, in 2018, just before the coalition was formally organized, the Permian Basin accounted for 11% of the state's road fatalities, though it held only 1% of the state's population. Things have gotten a bit better, he told those attending the West Texas Safety Training Center's annual meeting at the MCM Elegante Hotel in Odessa Monday. Current figures have the region responsible for 6% of the state's road fatalities, though it now holds 1.6% of the state's population. Fatalities are a little better, but that comes with a caution, he said. The count last year was impacted by the accident in Andrews County involving the University of the Southwest golf team that resulted in 12 fatalities, he noted. He also added that incidents involving tractor trailers are up this year. That's not just oil and gas trucks, but trucks delivering for Walmart or delivering beer, FedEx packages, and, yes, frac sand, he said. To help improve road safety for all Permian Basin residents, Smith said his coalition will intensify its education and awareness efforts for this year. That includes holding luncheon programs to highlight sharing of the best practices and demonstrations of emerging safety technology, as well as collaboration with area law enforcement agencies. The coalition is also establishing the Road Safety Champion Awards to recognize best-in-class drivers and companies. We want to amplify those achievements so others will take notice, Smith explained. The coalition is also advocating in both Austin and Santa Fe, New Mexico, for investment in area road infrastructure to improve safety. A task force has been formed to address issues caused by the growing frac sand mining activity in the region and work to ensure the trucks delivering that sand operate safely. The coalition is also continuing its first responder life-saving equipment initiative, which has already delivered 7,000 pieces of equipment valued at $4.6 million to 82 departments in 27 Permian Basin counties. Smith said the coalition is also working to improve the crash records information system to make sure local law enforcement agencies submit accurate crash reports, since that could bring counties more funding for infrastructure. Alongside the CRIS training, Smith said training will be provided on the widely used WellSite Navigator app and the SafeLand training module that has already been added to existing oil field curricula. Smith also noted that road fatalities in the Permian Basin are only slightly lower than those reported in Los Angeles, the nation's second most populous city with 4 million residents. Los Angeles has had a few more, but by comparison, we're close, he said. An area with wide open spaces should in no way match the gridlock of Los Angeles. He offered two suggestions that could halve road fatalities in the Permian Basin. Approximately 30% of fatalities weren't using restraints like seatbelts. Another 20% involved distracted drivers. Using restraints and avoiding distracted driving would result in a 50% reduction in traffic deaths, he said. We're excited the numbers are going down, but it's a cautionary tale, Smith said. MC Presidential Candidate Forum's Top Community Roundup by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Terry Williamson's book launch. The family of former Reporter Telegram sports editor Terry Williamson has told the newspaper that Terry's book, Man in the Ring, has been published. There will be a book signing tailgate from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday at Faskin Park, 2301 Humble Avenue. Pet Vaccination Clinic, Petco Love and Dog Rescue, R Us, will have a free pet vaccination clinic from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sunday at Tractor Supply, 7800 State Highway 191, Odessa. Midland College President Forums, that will be open forums for each Midland College president candidate, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. and 1 to 2 p.m. in the Allison Fine Arts Building, Wagner and Brown Auditorium. Damon Kennedy will be Monday, Ian Rourke will be Tuesday, and Thad England will be Wednesday. Water Forum, the Texas Tribune will host Broken Pipes, How Can We Keep Water Safely Flowing in Texas, at noon on May 9th at the University of Texas Permian Basin's Midland campus. Kids College 2023. The 39th year of Kids College will be offered in two sessions, June 5th through the 15th and June 19th through the 29th. Classes range from arts and crafts to games, math and science, personal development, and sports. Kids College instructors develop the curriculum to introduce students to these subjects and excite them to learn more. Thanks to funding from the James A. Buddy Davidson Foundation, scholarships are available based on need. For more information and to register, visit midland.edu/kidscollege. Registration for the first session ends May 25th. Registration for second session ends June 8th. Community calendar, Midland Northside Lions Club 30th Annual We Serve Breakfast, 7 to 10 a.m., Saturday, Midland Park Mall Food Court. Sibley Nature Center's Spring Festival, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Saturday, 1307 East Wadley Avenue. March for Meals, Walk, and Resources Fair, presented by Senior Life, 10 a.m. Saturday, Midland College. The Phyllis and Bob Cowan Performing Arts Series presents Improv Under Hypnosis, starring Jonathan Mangum and Assad Mekki, 7:30 p.m. Saturday, Chap Center. 14th Annual Free Aphasia Awareness Concert, 7:30 p.m. May 5th at Horseshoe Amphitheater. Midland Shooters Association West Texas Buckle Championship, May 5th through the 7th. MSA Shotgun Range, 7400 West County Road 170. Girl Scouts of the Desert Southwest presents Women of Distinction, 6 p.m. May 6th, Petroleum Club of Midland. Basin PBS Main Street Live, May 19th, 203 North Main Street. The Beach Boys at the Education Foundation, ECISD, Annual Concert, July 27th, Ector County Coliseum. Upcoming meetings, Midland Development Corporation, 10 a.m. Monday, Midland Chamber of Commerce, Boardroom, 303 West Wall Street, Suite 200. County Commissioners, on or after 11:15 p.m., Monday, Commissioners Courtroom, Midland County Courthouse, 500 North Lorraine Street. Planning and Zoning, 3:30 p.m., Monday, Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Midland ISD Bond Committee. The following is a list of Bond Planning Committee meetings which are open to the public to attend. All meetings are scheduled to begin at 6 p.m. and future meeting dates are as follows. Yarber Elementary, Thursday at 6000 Riverfront Drive. Bunch Elementary, June 1st at 700 South Jackson Street. June 20th at a location to be determined. MISD's Bond Planning Committee website will be updated with more information as the process continues. You can find it at midlandisd.net/bond. City of Midland releases Animal Services Director by Stuart Doreen. Staff writer, the City of Midland has parted ways with Animals Services Director Ty Coleman, according to a post on Coleman's Facebook page. Coleman was described by many as a person who brought new programs to animal services and was a favorite of animal support groups like Fix West Texas. We are very saddened by this sudden turn of events, and we want to apologize on behalf of our community for its city's actions, Fix West Texas wrote on its Facebook page late Thursday. We asked for change. We begged for change. We searched high and low for someone with passion, desire, and positive attitude to exact that change. The City of Midland confirmed Coleman's release early Friday morning. He did not meet probation, the city stated. Coleman, on his page, wrote the following: "Today, the city of Midland decided it will be my last day. I appreciate the support from the people who were happy in the direction for Midland Animal Services. I feel horrible for the staff and the animals that will not have any leadership or guidance to continue the mission of serving our two- and four-legged friends. You're told it's a safe space to speak and try to guide city management and advise them of potential issues, but become the bad guy because you spoke up about said potential issues and they get butt hurt when it doesn't go the way they expected it to. Even when I advised them on an issue and didn't agree with their response, I still followed my orders and did what I was asked. Not once was I ever insubordinate in any way, and now I regret not following my gut. I wasn't given any reasons as to why I was let go other than I did not pass my probationary period." Crude prices and volatile April on positive note. Pioneer Scott Sheffield said members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries are looking for prices in the $90 to $100 range, by Mella McEwen, staff writer. Crude prices ended at a volatile month that began when a surprise production cut from OPEC sent prices climbing $6 a barrel and then giving back those gains amid concerns about a potential economic downturn and its impact on demand. West Texas Intermediate rose 3 of 5 trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange, opening the week with an 89-cent gain. Prices then turned lower, following $1.69 Tuesday and $2.77 Wednesday before turning upwards again. WTI added $2.02 Friday to end the week at $76.78, down from $77.87 at last Friday's close. The posted price ended the week at $73.26, according to Plains All American. Bloomberg said it was the second consecutive weekly decline, though Friday's gain was the most in almost 4 weeks. Natural gas prices showed signs of strength, rising 4 of 5 trading days on the NYMEX and overcoming Wednesday's 19-cent plunge. June became the new near-month futures contract for Henry Hub, opening trading with a 5-cent gain. Henry Hub added 4 cents Friday to close the week at $2,397 per MCF, up from $2,233 at last Friday's close. The preemptive posture by OPEC, continued growth by China, anti-American energy policies, low spare capacity, and capital discipline among many domestic producers will ensure that higher oil prices persist. Ed Longnecker, president of the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Scott Sheffield, who is retiring as chief executive officer of Pioneer Natural Resources at the end of the year, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview that members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries are looking for prices in the $90 to $100 range. Prices, he said, will be supported by supplies not keeping up with demand, little spare capacity to grow production, and population growth in general. Rich Dealy, who will succeed Sheffield as CEO, said he expects capital discipline to persist. "That ship has sailed," he said. "Investors like this returns framework and don't want to see it change." In its earnings call to discuss its first quarter earnings, Pioneer told an analyst it's assuming an $80 WTI oil price to allow it to return approximately 40% of its current market capitalization to shareholders over the next 5 years. In his daily newsletter, Edward Moya, senior market analyst with Oanda, wrote that oil prices are finding support in mixed data that supports the case for the Federal Reserve to remain in tightening mode. The economy is heading toward a rough patch, but it still might have another good quarter left before a recession starts. the crude demand outlook is all over the place, given the economy is hitting stall speed, while airlines still remain optimistic for a busy summer travel period. Moya concluded oil should find strong support ahead of the $70 region when you consider OPEC low production levels. The U.S. will eventually have to refill the strategic petroleum reserve as Europe's growth forecast improves and as China supports the real economy. Drilling activity continues to rise in U.S. Permian by Mella McEwen, staff writer. Drilling activity continues to move higher as commodity prices appear to reach a steadier footing. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday its U.S. rig count, which it has issued weekly since 1944, rose 2 rigs to 755, marking the second consecutive weekly increase. The count is 57 rigs, or 8% higher than the 698 reported last April. The number of rigs seeking crude oil held steady at 591, up 39 from 552 last year. The count was down 1 for the month, marking the 5th consecutive monthly decline. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas rose 2 to 161, 17 more than 144 counted a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for gas is up 1 for the month, the second consecutive monthly increase. Texas had 377 rigs at work across the state, unchanged for the week and up 32 from 345 last year. New Mexico added 2 rigs for 107, Louisiana 3, Ohio 1, and Pennsylvania 1 joined New Mexico as producing states to see an increase, while Alaska, North Dakota 1, and Oklahoma 3 saw declines. The Permian Basin added 3 rigs for 361 drilling across the region, 36 more than 335 last year. Eddy County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian with 54 rigs, unchanged for the week. Lee County, New Mexico, is second with 51 rigs, up 2. Reeves County lost 2 rigs for 44 rigs, and Martin County added 1 rig for 41. Midland County is on a 3-week winning streak, adding 2 rigs for 32 drilling within county lines this week. Loving County had 26 rigs, up 1. Upton County held steady at 18 rigs. Howard County lost 4 rigs, the steepest decline of the week, for 14 rigs. Ward County added 2 rigs for 12, and Andrews County added 1 rig for 11. Reagan County lost 1 rig for 10 rigs. Enverus Foundations, part of the energy-focused software as a service firm, Enverus, said its U.S. rig count had its high point at 812 during the week ended April 26, falling by 3 rigs from the previous week's peak. The count is down 3% or 26 rigs in the last month and up 3% year over year. 2 major plays experienced decreases, with the Anadarko Basin dropping 6 rigs to hit 67 and Williston Basin activity falling by 2 rigs to 39. The Gulf Coast and Permian each added 1 rig to reach 95 and 348, respectively. The DJ Basin added 2 rigs to reach 20, and the Appalachian Basin was flat with 54 rigs running.
Guest View: The Human Inclination to Self-Destruct by Van Yandel. Daniel 4:3. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel's chapter 2 is one of the greatest lessons in all of history concerning the rise and fall of the great empire. In his dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw a great metallic statue. That statue had a head of pure gold, shoulders and arms of silver. The torso was bronze, and the hips and legs were of iron. The feet were totally different composition, a mixture of iron and clay. Clay, of course, is weak and not as valuable. As Daniel interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, he pointed out as the wisdom went from the head to the feet, the metal becomes less valuable, indicating those kingdoms were not as powerful. Each body part represented a kingdom of the world that existed or was to come. The golden head represented Nechazabar's Babylonian empire. The silver shoulders and arms were in the indication of the next kingdom that would destroy Babylon. It would be the Medo-Persian Empire, Daniel 5. Next was the brass belly, which represented the empire of Alexander the Great, and finally, the iron legs represented the Roman Empire. The feet were a mixture of iron and clay. Also, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar was a rock cut not with hands, and it came and crushed the statue, Daniel 2:3-4. And the feet were the weaker part. That rock then grew into a mountain which covered the entire world. This is general consensus of the first four kingdoms, but opinions vary on the fifth. Some think it's a reestablished Roman Empire from which the Antichrist will come. Others see it as the European Union, and some see it as possibly the entire Western free world. The feet of the mixture of the iron and clay could indicate a division within the kingdom or susceptibility to destruction by self-infliction conditions. The point would be, whatever the nation or union may be, it will fall. The rock caught not to the hands in Jesus, the final empire will be destroyed. We may have the mindset of the U.S. will last forever, but that is an insecure assumption. We have circumvented, disobeyed, and even cursed the laws of our Creator to this point. Our destiny is inevitable. Romans 1:18. It certainly appears a catastrophic state of destruction is on the horizon. It may be economic, it may be nuclear exchange of superpowers, a pandemic, a plague, or some of the signs that are placed taking up of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. If it is taking away the believer followers of Lord Jesus, the tribulation will begin immediately and the absence of the church will determine this total state of anarchy. As previously discussed in another article, the laws of God are the only obstacle between man and chaos. Many do not realize where the standards of human behavior originated. Apparently, many in our world see no need for those laws in the 21st century. Several existing conditions appear to parallel scriptural indications of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the Daniel prophecy. The feet of iron and clay apparently are a final empire, and the free world could very well fit the description. Unwittingly, mankind has fallen into the trap of humanism, as we were warned about it by our Creator God in His book, the Holy Bible, Romans 12:2. As a people, we have failed to heed the admonishment by Solomon in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. By not teaching children ethics, honor, and respect, we are reaping the harvest of our neglect. What was once regarded as normal and acceptable human behavior is far from the minds of many today. Matthew 24:6. And we shall hear of wars, rumors of war. See that ye will not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but in the end is not yet. Jesus also said that the wars would increase in intensity. Verse 8. We're seeing more powerful armament and delivery systems. Munitions designed and builders are constantly developing more effective weapons. Currently, we are seeing a further escalation of the war in Ukraine and many other nations as joining both Russia and Ukraine. Anyone thinking there is not a possibility of the evolution into a world war should consider taking another look. Another scriptural implication is the world economy. We certainly appear to be those feet of iron and clay when we consider inflation. The devaluation of the currencies of several nations and debt as is articulated both to government and individuals. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. While several political factions promote the idea of total financial equality, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Debt is a primary cause simply because paying interest drastically increases the price we pay for products. If one purchases any product for $1,000 or $1 million and finances it for 10 years at 8% interest, the final cost is doubled. Governments consistently increase the debt acceleration and the rate of inflation. The products we buy are not worth, our money is worth less. We are also seeing a fulfillment of 2 Timothy 3:1 through 4. This known also, that as the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boast, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinents, fierce, dispensers of those who are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having rights and freedoms as a gift of God and our founding fathers. Some, however, have perverted those freedoms to seeds of division. Matthew 12:25. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Perhaps the image of the feet of iron and clay are symbolic of the extreme divisiveness. Many communist nations remain so by force. Tiananmen Square protest, 1989. Non-members of the party in some communist nations are denied basic rights such as health care, education, opportunities, and basic needs, utilities, and are ostracized by members. Democratic republics have rights and freedoms that in some cases contribute to the monumental division and are used against political enemies. To loose interpretation of constitutional rights has led to a perversion of the concepts of right and wrong and led to the acceptance of actions currently considered by some to be normal. Daniel chapter 2 tells us of 5 empires and how they all fell or will fall. As long as power brokers are among us, their need to oppress the masses and elevate themselves will spell destruction for billions of people. And of course, the imperialistic notions of some of those leaders constitute and contribute to the problem. We are humans have a propensity to self-destruct. It is our destiny set in concrete, or can it change? Apparently, mankind can change it because conditions keep accelerating towards an undesirable outcome. Only a return to the Creator can repair the damage that has been done. John 1:3, Colossians 1:16. A faith-based belief in Christ, Jesus Christ, crucified for the remission of sins and resurrection can change that materialistic world we live in. The urgency of telling the world about our Jesus is greater now than ever before. If Christians don't speak, preach, and teach His holy name, no one will. Learning Beyond the Classroom, a UTPB student's real-world experience. By Olivia Escargo, Communications and Recruitment Specialist, Special from UTPB. Daniel Fernandez, a computer science major from Winnemucca, Nevada, will be graduating this May. Daniel chose his major because he's always been naturally good at math and enjoys solving problems. The thing about the expanding field of computer sciences is the endless possibilities in learning and growing. You can tap into different areas such as robotics, data science, software development, said Daniel. When deciding on where to go for college, Daniel knew he wanted to leave his state to explore more of the country. He decided UTPB was the perfect fit for him to accomplish just that. Not only had Daniel never been to Texas before, but the affordability of UTPB was a huge selling point. Daniel is one of 12 presidential scholarship recipients the university selects every year. Students who receive the presidential scholarship have their full tuition and fees covered. My favorite thing about UTPB is the comfortable culture that exists here. It's peaceful. The people here are unique and have always been friendly. During this time at UTPB, Daniel has accomplished many things while getting his degree. One of his favorite experiences was securing an internship thanks to the help of the career services officer at UTPB. One of our many internship options available, Daniel decided on Verde Mining, a company that specialized in biocom mining. The openness, understanding, and enthusiasm with which Daniel was approached in his interview blew him away, and he knew this was the best fit for him. The internship with Verde Mining lasted 3 months, and in this time, Daniel received more than he could have asked for. He learned about software development, industry standards regarding software, and more about Bitcom industry. He also expanded his network through the people he met during the internship. Megan Baez, as the Officer of Career Services, was immensely helpful through this entire process and cannot thank her enough for her time and dedication. If it weren't for the opportunities I've had at UTB and Verde Mining, I wouldn't have made it in my career, said Daniel. I've gained confidence in my skills, and the knowledge I've learned in my field is incomparable. Overall, the experience was amazing. While at UTPB, Daniel worked on a research project related to the internship he did at Verde Mining. It was a reverse engineering project for a web service to learn how Bitcoin miners interact with network and software. My experience as a full-time student, also works full-time, has been overwhelming at times. It was tough to balance work, school, and life all at the same time. I know it's a similar situation for other students as well. Still, I know that all this work has been worth it, and I really see the progress and growth in my personal life. After graduating this May, Daniel plans to be working on establishing himself as a senior software developer, ultimately creating his own business with his skills in the field. He would also like to have the opportunity to work for Google someday for the experience. Officials gather for behavioral health groundbreaking. Midland. Officials from across the state gathered at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center Friday for the long-awaited groundbreaking of the Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center. Medical Center Hospital President CEO Russell Tippin said the goal is to take the first patient in early 2025. A roughly 170,000-square-foot building will be located on 54 acres donated by Diamondback Energy, just south of the WNPAC, Russell Myers, former president, CEO of Midland Health, said. Myers is now chief development officer of the Midland Memorial Foundation. The facility will have 100 beds, and Myers said part of it will be two stories. Some $40 million in state funding was obtained for the project, but funding continues. The groundbreaking was going to be held on the building site, but it was moved inside due to the windy conditions. A long rectangular sand pit was set up for the golden shovels to be dug into by the Odessa, Midland, and state officials. This facility will support those of West Texas who require the assistance and will finally make behavioral health care accessible in the Permian Basin, Republican Tom Craddock, Republican Midland, said. Craddock said there are no more than 500,000 Texas adults who live in the severe and persistent mental illness, and one in five adults in Texas suffer from mental illness issues every year. Craddock said the landmark movement of what happened between the two hospitals in Odessa and Midland is unbelievable. Craddock said he's being asked by other state lawmakers and people around the country about how this was done because they want mental health facilities too. Shelby Landgraf, wife of Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, substituted for her husband Friday. I'm so honored and so grateful to be here today to be celebrating this monumental occasion with all of you, Shelby Landgraf said. She said it began in 2021 when Myers and Tippin approached Craddock and Brooks Landgraf. Brooks jumped into action head first and was so thrilled to work with the fight for the needed funding. $40 million in state funding to kick this off. Today's groundbreaking of the Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center is a huge milestone for mental health right here in the Permian Basin. As Republican Craddock mentioned, it's no secret that our area does not have what it needs and what it deserves when it comes to mental health funding and facilities. Both Midland and Odessa lack the bed space, the facility space, and the health care providers to meet the needs here in our community, Landgraf said. But all that changes today with this groundbreaking. This facility is desperately needed. Countless individuals put in so much hard work to make it this a reality. Make this behavioral health center to secure the funding for the Permian Basin, she added. Extra County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said the facility is long overdue. We've had many individuals have been incarcerated in our jail and have been directed by the judge to go to a facility, and no beds were available statewide, Griffiths said. This will help in that respect, and also our streets and mental health officers who have to deal with the mentally ill individuals may be involved in incidents. They can get these individuals to a facility a lot quicker, a lot safer right here in our own community. It's a win-win. Hopefully we have enough beds and more beds in the future if we need it. Griffiths said the number of people that officials encounter who need mental health assistance varies. They have their own mental health officers, as does the police department. We thanked everybody involved for bringing the project this far. It can be 2 or 10 in one day. There are times we have to make 2 trips, 3 trips in a 24-hour period to San Angelo to take people down there to get committed. It varies a lot, and I hope we don't fill up within a short amount of time, Griffith said. Tiffin said what happened Friday shows the commitment to the people of the basin to do what's right for all the patients. He said they probably get 4 or 5 people a day that are in a crisis in the emergency room. This is the biggest unmet medical need in the Permian Basin, so having something like this come together is going to be huge. It's going to be a big deal, Tiffin said. The event was emceed by Tatum Hubbard, Chief of Staff, Vice President of Communications and Marketing at UTPB. Pets of the Week. Mia, a 4-year-old female bulldog mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Mia or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane. Call 432-257-4311. Visit www.odessahumanesociety.org or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa. Problem solved. He only needed 30 tablets. He received 13,000 worth of drugs by Christopher Elliott. If a pharmacy gives you too much medication, can you get a partial refund? That's what one reader wants to know after he receives $13,000 worth of pills. Question. While I was a patient in a nursing home in Grants Pass, Oregon, I contracted Chlorhexidines difficile, a bacteria that causes diarrhea and colitis. An inflammation of the colon. C. Different is a truly horrible intestinal infection that is potentially fatal. Since the treatment wasn't curing me, I found a gastroenterologist who prescribed 30 tablets, a deficit, an expensive medication. However, I received 58 tablets from my pharmacy. Omnicare of Portland at a total cost of $13,000 and cost to me $2,116. I'm trying to get this fixed. I don't need 58 tablets. Omnicare of Portland overcharged me by more than $1,000 for the medication. Can you help me get this straightened out? Ronald Van Wieman, Van Noord, Crescent City, California. Answer. I'm sorry to hear about your infection and hope you recover quickly. Your pharmacy should have filled the prescription your gastroenterologist wrote. It isn't clear why the pharmacy gave you 28 additional tablets or why it wouldn't immediately correct it. Talk about deficit. But do you want to know what I can get over? Medications that cost $13,000. Okay, so your insurance company covered most of the expense, but you still had a significant copay, which was even more significant after the pharmacy's extra pills. It's nowhere as expensive as Hemogenics, $3.5 million per treatment, or Zolgensma, $2.1 million. But I can't be the only one who thinks $13,000 is too much to cure you. It looks like you already followed the Elliott method for fixing your problem. You sent a brief, polite email to Omnicare, owners by CVS, and before contacting me, you also appealed to an outside mediator, the BBB. But even after all that, you're still being overcharged by the pharmacy. The only thing left was to apply steady pressure on CVS to get it fixed the problem. I published the name, numbers, and emails of the CVS customer service managers on my customer advocacy site, Elliott.org. I contacted CVS on your behalf. The company sent you a check to cover the extra tablets, unfortunately, without explaining the error. The Economist, all of the above. While it is widely known that Texas is the key producer of oil and natural gas, many are unaware that the state is also a leader in green energy. The installed capability in renewables has been growing at a rapid pace, and barring artificial obstacles, this pattern will likely continue. Globally, renewable capacity grew from less than 1.6 million megawatts, MW, in 2013 to nearly 3.4 million in 2022. In the United States, wind and utility scale solar power expanded by almost 328% over that period. In Texas, wind capacity more than tripled. The solar capacity went from almost none to more than 8820 megawatts. Texas ranks first among U.S. states for installed wind capacity by a wide margin. In 2021, the state's capacity was 35,969 megawatts, more than all but four countries, China, the U.S., Germany, and India. Texas is also adding more than any other state, with an increase of 3,343 megawatts in 2021. Wind supply is about one-fifth of the state's utility-scale generation, a substantial share through well below 50% provided by natural gas. Moreover, Texas has 8,820 megawatts of utility-scale solar capacity, second only to California, with 13,579 megawatts. However, Texas is increasing solar facilities much faster of late, and the differential will narrow or disappear if that momentum persists. When the small-scale facilities are included, Texas solar capacity nearly doubled in 2021, rising from 5,987 to 10,329 megawatts and accounting for about 3% of the state's total electricity generated. These gains in green power have reduced emissions significantly, which is a critical benefit. They also frequently help to keep prices active. On a breezy and mild spring day, wholesale electricity prices can drop to extremely low levels. One potential downside of the expansion in the intermittent nature of wind and sunshine, which can cause problems in assuring reliable electricity supplies under adverse weather conditions. Although batteries are being installed at a notable pace and with related technologies improving, there are not enough of them to bridge the gap, nor will there likely be quite some time. Consequently, we must also support the responsible growth of base capacity from other fuels, primarily natural gas, and all of the above strategy that recognizes the realities of a dynamic and growing population and economy with a solid footing in many power-intensive sectors. In addition to this widely recognized energy resource resting deep under the soil, Texas's abundant wind and vast expanses of vacant lands where the sun shines with great regularity. Strides are also being made in hydrogen and other emerging energy sources. We will need all of them to meet our long-term needs, and policymakers need to be aware of the incontrovertible fact: stay safe.